that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Coming to you live this Saturday morning, December 21st, 2019. And we've got a full crew and a full schedule for you. And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And all the way from, I don't know what you call that in Nebraska, kind of mid-south central Nebraska. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
We say good morning to you, the remnant, from all over North Indiana and South Alabama, as the song says, and from California and Florida. We welcome you here this morning to the coffee program. We'll have the phone lines open. We've got some current events to talk about, and we'll see where the Holy Spirit leads. Brother Jonathan, we'll ask you to open us up in prayer, sir.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time that you've set aside for your people to come together and to encourage one another to love and good deeds. Father, we know how important it is in these days to be there for each other, and Father, not to only look at the negatives, but focus on the positives, the fact that your people who are called by your name have humbled themselves and pray and have sought your face, and Father, they're turning from their wicked ways in droves. Father, we're seeing a great awakening, and we know that that's your hand, Lord. And we know that your word says that when that happens, then you will hear from heaven, forgive our sin, and heal our land. Father, we confess that we fell asleep as the watchman over the house of Israel, and we've let it get to this point. And we ask for your forgiveness for that, Lord. We ask that you would guide and direct us, give us wisdom, understanding, and discernment. Father, that we would hear ye from the Lord. that we would be receptive to the Holy Spirit and that we would respond accordingly. Father, we do cry out that you would hear our appeal to heaven for you to save America again. Father, we know that the window that you granted us is but a short time for repentance, for your people to turn back to you, and that you, against all odds, brought up a president, Donald J. Trump, who is not a saint but is a warrior, and that you're using in a mighty way. Father, we just pray for wisdom, understanding, and discernment for him. Father, we pray that you would send your ministering angels to minister to him. Send your guardian angels to protect him and his family and those that are in positions of authority that seek to restore the true J-A-R-U-S-A-L-E-M back to a God-fearing nation. Send your warring angels to battle Leviathan, because we know that they're pulling out all the stops. We know that this is a battle of good versus evil, those who worship Lucifer and those that worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we can see the apostasy taking place as well, Lord. We see the churches of Laodicea continue to grow in number. We continue to see the perversion being accepted as normal. But Father, we know that you are still on the throne, that they make their plans and that you laugh and you scoff at them. But Father, we just need your help, Lord. We need more Holy Spirit. We need that wisdom, understanding, and discernment with regards to our day-to-day lives, Father. Tell us what it is that we need to do at the proper time. We thank you that you are a God that hears and answers our prayers, and Lord, that the things that were done in the dark are continuing to be brought to the light and shouted from the rooftops. Father, that you continue to send confusion to the camp of the enemy and that they are devouring one another. And Father, we've been praying for justice and we continue to pray, Lord, and we just ask for your intervention regarding these thieves, Father, that have committed these atrocities against you and your people that think they got away with it, Lord. I pray that you would just bring retribution down upon their head, Lord, that they would understand that there is a true chief justice and he doesn't wear a black robe and sit behind a bench. He's in the heavens and he will rule on all things and he will judge all things. So Father, once again, I pray that you would open the eyes of those that can come to repentance. Remove the scales from their eyes and unstop their ears that they may hear and see the truth and that they'd fall upon their face and cry out and ask for forgiveness. And Father, as we approach this day that the world celebrates as Christmas, Father, help us to understand that there are those out there that don't understand the pagan beginnings of these holidays that we celebrate, but any day that Jesus Christ is raised up, whether it be his birth or his resurrection, whatever it is, Father, is a good day. As a matter of fact, we should celebrate each and every day the birth and resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, as the gospel says, and we are to be the ones to fulfill the Great Commission and to share that truth, not only on Christmas Day or the day the world calls Easter, but every single day of our lives. And pray that you give us the opportunity to do just that, Lord. We pray all these things in the name above all other names, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open this morning, 307-745-5913. If you'd like to give a call, if you have a question or a comment, we'll do our best to get that addressed. As John prayed, lots going on out there. Jason, you had mentioned something right before the program came on about another mess. Was it out in California? You want to maybe talk about that?
We had Yeah, it's, you know, California's got hit by a whole lot of things lately. I mean, they've had the fires, they've had the hurricanes, they've had power outages, and now they're, if you're down there along the coast, I mean, the photos are absolutely unbelievable, and they got it, they're calling it the penis fish, and there's hundreds of thousands of them that are just all of a sudden have emerged between Oregon and California and along the coast of California. They say the stench is so bad that you can't go to the beaches. These fish that have just all of a sudden just emerged from, they said that it's really uncommon that you even see them. But they live below, because they live below the surface, and they've emerged on the beaches, and the beaches are just becoming infested. They said that it's brought the birds in, it's bringing more diseases in, more sickness in. They're worried about bacteria. They don't know what to do about it. You know, and it's one of those things. It's, you know, God's in control of it. It's you know, it's like a plague. It's like, you know, a locust. It's like a, it's like one of the plagues of Egypt. And it's just crazy. And I mean, they were saying, they started saying that there was thousands of them, but looking at these pictures, I mean, there's millions of them. And it says, and it's basically on the northern part of California. They said a strong storm came in, and all of a sudden they emerged. So, you know, and it's, you look at these pictures, and it's biblical proportions of these things emerging on the beaches. So they said that the smell is the dead sea creature smell. They say it's just hanging in the airs as birds are just swarming around. All the seagulls had been eating them until they just couldn't stand it anymore. It was, yeah, it's something. But, you know, I mean, it's like this, we're living in those times where there's, we're going to see those plagues again.
Yeah, and then I read this morning that there's, for the first time ever, there's more people moving out of California than moving into California. That's pretty significant, too, if you think about it.
It really is.
They're jumping.
You gotta wonder if God's driving some of those people out, and if, you know, if it's getting so corrupt, or, you know, what exactly is happening there. But I mean, if you can't see the signs and the writing on the wall, then you probably should get your head examined.
Yeah, exactly.
True fact. Absolutely. It reminds me of in Exodus when they, you know, they left the food that God has given them out, didn't get rid of it. They left it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry. And it's like, you know, you can see that they've been told in California what they need to do to honor God and serve God and to stand up for our country's precepts and everything. And they don't listen to any of it, you know. And they sure seem to be hit with. I mean, it seems like we talk about California a lot. You know, we got fires over there, we got electricity rolling blackouts, we got earthquakes, we got defecation and the like in the street, and disease outbreaks, and stinky worms washing up on the beach, and it's all coincidence, right? I mean, it couldn't be that God's trying to give them some heads up out there. Nobody's listening.
Well, and I was reading the Wyoming Livestock Roundup yesterday, and it right on the front page it had a thing on food prices, and it says the United States Food and Agriculture Organization says global food prices are currently the highest in more than 2 years. Prices increased 2.7% from October to November, and were up 9.5% from last year. Meat prices rose 4.6% in November, making it the highest one-month surge in more than 10 years.
Wow. That's significant.
Yeah, it is.
It is. It is. And if you follow those, that increase in food prices back, you see that it's not the farmer that's making more money. It's not the rancher that's making more money, but the middlemen, the you know, those that we'll just call them parasites. It's what they are, that can't produce on their own, that have to come in and they come to steal, kill, and destroy. I think we've all seen that, certainly. Food prices keep going up, whether it's vegetables or meat. You know, when you see the battles over water, especially in Southern California, we've talked about that. You know, from out here, it impacts us here in the West because we're right on the edge of that Colorado River drainage area that feeds from here through Vegas all the way down to Southern California, and through tens of millions of acres of farmland, or at least what has been farmland. And with the California legislature and changes that they've made, there have been farms. The stories are too many to go through all of them, but there are farms, many farms shut down so that they can maintain wetlands. We see that all over the country, but when you have that in Southern California, when you have farms shut down so that they can have water for swimming pools and water for development, and they can't grow food anymore there, you know, the question comes up, where is it going to get grown? Where is the food going to come from? And you know, many will say, oh, well, we'll get it from Brazil, we'll get it from China, we'll get it from here and there. And we see the result that you mentioned, Jason, that food prices highest that they've been in years.
The other thing you have to see is going on, though, is if you're watching carefully, you'll see that the FDA is recalling all kinds of different foods.
Yes.
From vegetables to meat by the thousands of pounds. And, you know, it all plays into, I think, what's going on in Virginia, where they're trying to pass the martial law, basically, against these 2A counties that are becoming sanctuary counties for Second Amendment. But bottom line is, you know, they've exposed their hand a long time ago that they know that they can't get people to turn in their firearms. But
right.
If you starve them to death, and it comes to food or guns, your neighbors will turn you in or steal your guns to try to get food. So, I mean, that's their ultimate goal. I was reading an article this morning that the Dems to unleash martial law attack on 2A counties using roadblocks to confiscate firearms and spark a shooting war. So, you know, their goal is to start a civil war. They've been trying to do that. They tried to do it racially for years. Now they're trying to do it by infringing upon our constitutional rights. But bottom line is that at least the National Guard is saying that they're not going to disobey Governor Northam's orders. I think
right.
The military is going to have a different stance, and probably a lot of the older generation police departments are going to have, or the police officers. But the new generations, you got to remember that they've been brought up in these indoctrination bins of the public school system, and you know, it's. But their goal is to start a civil war so that they can bring in the UN peacekeepers, and then at that point they think that they can go door to door and confiscate weapons. But it's interesting too that they give you a map of Virginia, and I would say 98% of all of the counties have declared that they're a 2A sanctuary county,
right.
Except for like two, I think, and one of them's right in the middle of, you know, multiple counties. And I was reading about these undercover police officers and state troopers and things like that, and marshals, and they're saying that the talk in the bars and in the different places of where people meet is not just idle talk anymore. It's the fact that, look, we have, you know, 98% of the counties that are not going to go with this tyranny. We're just going to go in there and tar and feather the politicians like they used to do. And some of these police officers are actually worried about those people that are in government positions of authority, and they should be worried.
Absolutely.
But we got to remember too that their goal is to cause an uprising to get the UN peacekeepers on our soil to be able to intervene.
You know, John, when I've seen the, well, you see the social media posts and the emails that are flying around and get forwarded and those type things, it's occurred to me that this is a test. You know, we've seen similar things from different subjects in California, where, you know, the people would vote 80%, 80, sometimes 85%, say, against offering illegals driver's license. And the judges just say, well, we don't care what you vote, we're going to do it anyway. And we've seen that time and time again in California. And that's what it occurred to me, that I think that that's what this is here in Virginia, that there it's a test. They're going to see how far the people will go, how far, you know, just like this with the National Guard, the people in the National Guard coming out and saying, no, we're not going to go door to door and try to take people's guns. We're not going to do that. And, you know, that is...
Actually, the National Guard is saying they're going to honor the governor's...
Oh, I thought I'd read before that there were many that said they would not. But you're right. Well, you see these from sheriffs and police departments, and I think that it is showing that divide, that line that is being drawn, and for the most part, it's being drawn by the left, by the ungodly, by those that that do not adhere to the founding principles of this nation, that do not adhere to Christian principles. Or a Christian way of life at all. And that line is being drawn that, no, you will do this. You will, regardless of the Constitution, regardless of the laws that are set up, you know, you will turn in guns. You will do this. And many of them have forgotten. The shot that was heard around the world, the beginning battle, what started... the physical fighting in the American Revolution was when the English marched on Lexington and Concord to take their weapons, to take their firearms and their powder, and I think it was a cannon as well. That's what the British did. Lay down your arms. That is what has started it. And it seems as if these people do not know, these enemies of the American way of life, do not know their history. In the 1700s, the Americans would not adhere to that. And, from the looks of these Second Amendment sanctuary counties that didn't start in Virginia, but they certainly, like you said, it seems like almost the entire state, they're not planning on doing that now.
This final conclusion says Richmond is surrounded by patriots. At what point will the citizens of Virginia decide to arrest and incarcerate all these lawless, treasonous tyrants in Richmond who tried to pull this stunt? I have a feeling there's about to be a real shortage of rope across Virginia. But
I know,
one of the things, like, it's a test bed. It's a test bed is what it is.
It is.
Just like you said, it's...
That's what I've got written down.
See if they can pull it off.
Right. It's a test. Tim? Well,
Virginia is about as close to a seriously conservative state on the east side of the country as you can get. I mean, you know, it's...
Right.
We know that, you know, it was... It has its roots in God, guns, and guts. And so that's why they're hitting that one. It's in their bailiwick. But one of the interesting things I read was that there's a massive recall petition going on right now to recall the governor of Virginia. And by all expectations, at least from what I read on the polling, it's expected to go through by a landslide. In other words, they're going to recall the governor. Now, my next question is if that's the case, and if we have 98% of the counties there that have taken up Second Amendment sanctuary status, and we have all of the sheriffs in the county standing, or not all of them, but a large majority of sheriffs in the state that are saying, we will not do that, and I don't I wasn't aware that the National Guard had come out officially and said that, but I know that there's some noise in there about some of the guys not doing it. But the bottom line is, if that's the case, conservatively speaking and godly speaking, that they won't do that, how in the world did that state end up with that governor elected? You know, we have to ask ourselves that question. I mean, you expect me to really believe that given these flash results that we're seeing here with this irritation and anger and ungodly calls and a recall petition going on, that man was duly elected as the governor of Virginia? I'd have to call election fraud or some kind of a situation there that, you know, I have no confidence in their election if that's the case, that they'd be put into there like that in a legal way. So
yeah, that's a good point. Well, you got to remember too, yeah. Virginia is surrounded by Kentucky, Tennessee, North Carolina, and I mean, those are all good old boy states that are heavily armed. You know, I think the problem is they're seeing their utopia, their one world order utopia, flip away.
Right.
As more and more people are waking up, especially, you know, one of the biggest wake-up calls, I think, as far as breaking the spell in America, was the fake news thing. Bigger than most people realize.
Yes.
Because most people you talk to now, even if they don't understand biblical truth, they don't understand what's going on, they understand one thing, that the news is a bunch of liars. And that's significant. If you think about it, compared to where we were just 3 years ago.
Absolutely. Well, and there's, I heard something yesterday that I thought was interesting over in Iowa, and I missed this one back in June, but a guy, and maybe you guys had mentioned it, but they were talking about a guy who had, on a United Church of Christ over there at Ames, had ripped down an LGBT flag and burned it. And he was sentenced yesterday to 15 years, exactly. 15 years. And I was listening to that, and I kind of was wondering, and his name was, you know, I was hoping maybe I could find out what his name was, and his name is Adolfo Martinez.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jason. Yeah. So, but, you know, if he'd have burned an American flag, they would have probably made a hero out of him. I mean, or a Christian flag. If that church had been flying anything like that, why, that would have been a heroic effort, according to the other side. But since he was taking that down, 15 years seems just wild to me. I mean, the whole thing. But how sad that he's standing up against that.
Right.
When some other people aren't, you know, out there. I mean, it's like, wow. And how sad that flag is flying over.
That he takes it down off of a church. I mean, you know, that's the thing. It's like, you know, that really goes and shows you where the churches stand, you know, for the most part.
Exactly.
Off of a United Church of Christ building.
Yeah, and he did it at night. You know, I saw the news article or two, said he didn't like homosexuality. And so he went at night. Now, there was beer involved. Apparently, they were out at a bar. And he goes and takes the flag down from the church. Nobody's there. No protest. He didn't beat up or kill anybody to do this. He didn't burn the church down. He takes the flag down, and he takes it back to the bar that he's at, and they burned it there. And that's 15 years in prison for that. But you're absolutely right, Tim. How many times do we see here in the States, you know, people burning American flags, and it's just, you know, a daily occurrence, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just nothing goes on. But yet this happens. You know, there was no one harmed during this, okay? See, it's feelings and it's control. Oh, how dare you come against this? And they call it a hate crime. Well, when you burn an American flag, is that not a hatred for what that flag represents? That's what this man did. He burned a, you know, a LGBTQ DFP whatever flag because he didn't like what it represented, and the laws of you know, they call that a hate crime, and they prosecute him as a hater. But yet these that burn American flags, well, that shows that they hate what that flag stands for. They get away with it. I think they call that discrimination. I think is what that's called.
Well, hate crime is what it is.
Well, it is. That's what they charged him with.
Yeah.
You know, there again, that shows what our pastor preached for years and years coming true. The prophecies that he put forth from the church pulpit and from these Radio Ranch microphones, that very thing would be happening. That it's not just that they want equal rights. They want protected status, special status, because that's what rebellion does. And that's exactly what they've achieved in this. I think this story shows that very thing. You can speak out against America. You can be like Maxine Waters and say that that the President of the United States ought to be strung up. See, you can speak out against that. You can speak out against America, the American flag, Christianity, like you said, Tim. You can come against, you know, you can mock Jesus Christ. You can do all that stuff. Oh, that's protected. That's free speech. But how dare you come against? You burned an LGBTQ whatever flag? Oh, that's a hate crime. We're going to sentence you to 15 years in prison. Do you see that, people? Can you not see the spell that operates under? That's not all men are created equal. Not at all. That's you know, that's holding some things higher than others. It's like, what was that from Orwell's the Barnyard, right? That book, or George Orwell that wrote 1984, also wrote, well, I think that was the name of it, The Barnyard, that all animals are created equal. Some are just more equal than others. And I hope those of you that are tuning in can start to see this if you're not seeing it already. Or maybe it motivates you and gives you some ideas to share with friends and family that don't see this. That is huge. In the discrimination, the true discrimination that is occurring here in this country. I think it was in, I didn't bring the article with me this morning, but I read it this week. I think it was in either Seattle or Portland, and they were having a drag queen story hour, and a pastor showed up, and he didn't bring signs. He was just going to go and be in the back of the library and pray quietly. Not out loud, no megaphones, no nothing. The police would not let him into the public library.
Because he brought a weapon in.
Well, what, the Bible?
Sword of the, yeah. Lord. Yeah. Absolutely.
But they would not let him in.
More than they do.
That's right. They were. They
more than they do any physical
they do.
Weapon.
They do. But they had the police at the door of the public library that our tax dollars pay for, that would not allow him in there. So he prayed out in the parking lot. But see, that is where that is where this nation is, it's a sad thing.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw the Southern Baptist Convention appointed a gay affirming pro LGBTQ pastor, David Uth, U-T-H, I guess that's how you pronounce it, as the president of the 2020 Pastors Convention. So, you know, the Southern Baptist Church has been teetering on being pro-GLBTQ, whatever, LGBTQ, but with this appointment of this pastor from Orlando, they've pretty much crossed over that boundary as well.
They have. John, I think you mispronounced his last name. You spelled it U-T-H.
What is it?
And it's Pastor Gonna Burn in Hell, for all of eternity if he doesn't repent. I think that was how you pronounce his last name. And you know, how many times does the Bible tell us, remnant, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. His word has not changed. His word does not change. Seasons come and go. People come and go. And you know, this choice that people are making. You know, that comes back to that line that we talked about that's being formed and widened and deepened in Virginia. You know, the people saying what we're going to do, what we're not going to do. I think that this, the same thing. Choose you this day. You either choose life or you choose death. And as long as it's day, we get to choose. There's a chance to repent if we've made bad choices. And there's an opportunity to choose life, to choose Jesus Christ, that abundant life that he brings. This Southern Baptist Center Association, you know, by their choice, you know, they are choosing to separate themselves from God. It's not that God pulls back. I mean, he does, but he doesn't do that unless his people do. And when his people, whether it's me, whether it's you, whether it's any of us, whether it's the big pastors with the big PhDs and everything after their name that run the Southern Baptist Association, it don't matter. When they choose that, they choose death. They choose to separate themselves from God. And
it's about time to start enacting First Corinthians 16:22. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be an anathema maranatha. An anathema means a person or thing accused or assigned to damnation or destruction. Maranatha is the Lord is coming, or come, O Lord.
Amen.
But the thing you need to make sure that your house is in order, though, before you pray these kind of things. You need to make sure that you have the full armor of God on, that you're spiritually ready for these battles, because when you start enacting the power of the Holy Spirit that he's given us through the Word of God, then don't be surprised if Satan attacks you, and he will attack you, and he'll attack the weakest vessels in your family, your wife and your children. So don't come against these things to this degree unless you're properly prepared. I want to share with the remnant something that one of the Gideon Elite Acres of Diamond Man sent me. It's Psalm 82 from the 1599 Geneva Bible. Listen to it carefully, and then we'll go into a little bit of detail. But it says, I, the prophet, declaring God to be present among the judges and magistrates, reproveth their partiality and exhorteth them to do justice. But seeing none amendment, he desireth God to undertake the matter and execute justice himself. So then it goes down and breaks it down. It says, God standeth in the assembly of gods. He judgeth among gods. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Do right to the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the poor and the needy. Deliver the poor and the needy. Save them from the hand of the wicked. They know not and understand nothing. They walk in darkness, albeit all the foundations of the earth be moved. I have said, ye are gods, and ye all are children of the Most High. But ye shall die as a man, and ye princes shall fall like others. O God, arise, therefore, judge thou the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. Then in the footnotes it goes verse by verse. Psalm 82:1, the prophet showeth that if princes and judges do not their duty, God, whose authority is above them, will take vengeance on them. Psalm 82:2, for thieves and murderers find favor in judgment when the cause of the godly cannot be heard. Verse 4, not only when they cry for help but when their cause requireth aid and support. Verse 5, that is, all things are out of order, either by their tyranny or careless negligence. Verse 7, no title of honor shall excuse you, but you shall be subject to God's judgment and render account as well as other men. In verse 8, therefore no tyrant shall pluck thy right and thy authority from thee. So I'm going to have that put on the front page of the website, and also we'll send it out to the prayer warriors. But what it says is, to those of you that are his, pray this psalm for the next 30 days, print it out and take it with you, and watch and see what happens. And that's exactly what we're going to do. I think we'll, maybe the month of January would be a good month to target justice. It goes along with what we've been praying as the latest edition of the prayer for God's justice.
Amen. You know, John, that reminds me, you wrote about that. I think that same principle, and it escapes me exactly what it is, but when the last few sermons and newsletter articles, that that is a base, a foundational structure for the appeal to heaven. That, you know, when the judges don't do what they're supposed to do, when the king and the leaders have not done what they're supposed to do, then we have that right to appeal to heaven for justice, for his righteousness in the land. What a powerful scripture that is, and it ties right in. You're absolutely right. It's amazing how it does that we are to do that. That you know, an appeal to heaven is not a one-time thing. It's like, oh Lord, I've appealed, and that's been it. No, it is where we need to be as a nation. It is where we need to be as a nation.
Amen.
Well, Remnant, we've got a few minutes left. Phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. You see people making their choices. This past week, Christianity Today magazine that Billy Graham started back years ago came out with a scathing editorial against our president, saying that he should be removed, and that you know, just pointing fingers at him and all this. And Franklin Graham, you know, that there's someone you can pray for. Franklin Graham stood up and said, "Wait a minute, my dad voted for Donald Trump, and so how dare you come out and use." Billy Graham's name and say that Billy Graham is against Donald Trump. And he basically called him a liar. You know, he came out and said the fact that our president is the most pro-life president in modern history is extremely important. And Christianity Today magazine wants us to ignore that, to say it doesn't count. And he goes on, this was a quote, he said, "Christianity Today said it's time to call a spade a spade." And he wrote, "The spade is this. Christianity Today has been used by the left for their political agenda. It's obvious that Christianity Today has moved to the left and is representing the elitist liberal wing of evangelicalism." He goes on and concluded in conclusion and says this, "Is President Trump guilty of sin? Of course he is. As were all past presidents, and as each one of us are, including myself. Therefore, let's pray for the president as he continues to lead the affairs of our nation." And, you know, there again, that the people are making choices. The people that are running the magazine Christianity Today are making choices. Choices who to serve, choices who to promote. And I just thought it was interesting there that... you know, that as they've done that, Franklin Graham didn't let it just slide.
Yeah.
Didn't just go on Fox News and say, well, you know, they shouldn't do that.
I read that as well, but, you know, the reality is, read the title. What's the title of the magazine? Christianity Today. So what is Christianity Today but
false Christianity?
Watered down, lukewarm. Exactly.
Right.
So, I mean, that's all you really have to see. But when you look into it, too, you also see that that magazine, all these magazines are dying, every one of them, and the newspapers and everything else. And unless some rich Antichrist liberal puts money into it to keep it afloat just for this purpose, to do their bidding, they all go under. And George Soros is funding that Christianity Today. So, I mean, that's really, in reality, all you got to do is look at who's behind these things.
Right.
But the sad thing is, you know, the enemy understands the Bible better than we do, and the fact that this is an attack, and it's a significant attack, because there are those stupid Christians who don't understand their Bible who will believe that. They'll get a percentage of
That's
people
right.
to believe that Donald Trump needs to be removed because a magazine called Christianity Today says so.
Yes.
That's the sad part.
Yes.
But, you know, the reality is we're in a spiritual warfare, and it's up to us. Are we willing to put the time into the prayer to provide the support to the righteous angels, the prayer support to righteous angels as they battle Leviathan in the high places? Because that's what's going on right now. It's a battle of good versus evil. They don't even hide it anymore. Those people who hate God and hate his people worship Lucifer, period. That's what they say. They don't deny it. We boldly proclaim no king but King Jesus, and those two groups can't get along.
Amen.
So that's where we're at.
Amen.
Yeah, I think it ties in with 2 Thessalonians, where it says that those unrighteous deceivables that will perish, and God sent them strong delusion that they'd believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe is not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And I think that there's those out there who just suck that up, you know, and he sends them that delusion. It's like, well, if you can't even get around this or stand up for the truth or see that as a lie, it's definitely a muscle exercising movement moment in our lives where we can look at that and go, no, that's wrong. That's a delusion and that's a lie. So.
Amen. And you can't tell the counterfeit unless you know the original. You know, Pastor Brought did such a great job bringing that out, talking about, counterfeit Christianity, that you don't know unless you are trained, like bank tellers, are trained to recognize what a federal, a genuine fake money, we understand that, but what a genuine Federal Reserve note is like. They study the original so they can tell the fake. And I know in that message Pastor brought out that he applied that to Christianity. You can't tell the fake Christianity by just your feelings, because your feelings will lie to you. You can't just trust what's in your heart of hearts, because your heart will lie to you. That is that sin nature of man. You have to go back to the Word. What does the Word say? What does the Bible say? And you study the Word, you read the Word, you apply the Word, you pray for wisdom and discernment and understanding in the Word, and you practice righteousness, which is what the Word tells us to do. And like was mentioned earlier, you know, you defend the weak. You know, we pray for justice, for righteousness. That way, you can, when you immerse yourself in the Word, you get to recognize what Christianity is. So that even if the magazine says Christianity Today, if it doesn't line up with the Word, well, it's a lie. It's that way with everything, with everyone, with every pastor, with every minister, with every person. It has to line up with the Word to be true and genuine, regardless of what it calls itself.
I think it's important that we realize that there's quite a bit of significance to this impeachment, more than people realize. Number one, the fact that she hasn't, Pelosi hasn't turned over the articles of impeachment to the Senate. I think, best case scenario, it's because they want everyone to resonate on that impeachment over this holiday break, you know, when the senators and the representatives are back in their districts. And it's important, I think, too, that we voice our opinions to those senators and representatives that are in our district. But think about this. Number one, I don't trust the GOP Republican senators not to turn on Trump. And the fact that we know, as our pastor taught us many years ago, that they have dirt on all of these senators. And you don't think that, I mean, they're spending millions and millions, maybe billions of dollars to find anything that they can on every one of these senators for their illicit affairs or whatever it is. And they're going to present them with snippets of video or whatever it is, the information that they have, to get them to vote one way. And it's going to come down to, I think, are you willing to sell out your country just to protect your own soul and your own butt? But the bottom line is, the majority of them will do just that. So it's bigger than people think. The fact that it's legally, that Trump's legally impeached, and the fact that it goes to a Senate of majority immoral people is something that we need to be in prayer about for sure.
Amen. Guys, I see the phone lighting up. Let's take a call here in the last couple minutes. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard and fellas. This is Kenneth in Louisiana. If we're looking for a future race war against the white race and perhaps eating out pork and beans in the woods or in a cave, I don't think we need to worry, because technically there's already a war against our the white race. I encourage y'all to check out the website Mud Shark Madness and see the pictures of all these dead white females who are brainwashed by the agenda of race mixing. It appears that Babylon has a language, fellas, and that language in my belief system is doublespeak and bait and switch. When you hear black integrationists call the white man the devil, all he's doing is deflecting off himself that he's the devil. When you hear Jewish troll call...
Well, Ken, I'm gonna hold you up right there, because we don't call the black man the devil, and I don't think any of us hold to the idea that the black man is the devil. And so, you know, I'm not going to give you airtime to put that out. It's just as simple as that. We understand that his word says, "My sheep hear my voice." We understand that. And we are seeing that. You're absolutely right. There is doublespeak that is out there. There is the language that they use. When they say one thing, you need to take the opposite. We agree with you on that. You know, when you call, you push that race. It's deeper than that, okay? It's deeper than that. So we're not gonna stay on that. Thanks for your call, though. Well, guys, we're about wrapping up this morning. Some closing comments, Tim. We've still got about 5 minutes.
Well, I think it's significant as far as regards that some of those things that we see going on with Trump and the delay tactics involved in that we've got some of these people out there talking about his moral character and different things like that, and I don't know, I'm not in judgment of it, but I do take it back to Matthew 7, where it talks about making sure that it goes back with John saying, as far as the prayers go, with Maranatha, that take the beam out of your own eye first. Matthew 7 talks about that, if you want to help your brother. So we need to make sure we don't have any beams in our eyes before we worry about the you know, slivers in our brother's eyes. And I think that's we don't want to be hypocrites like Matthew 7:5 says. So that would be one of my prayer and fasting and getting yourself right so that you can, you know, carry things forward.
Amen. Amen. Well, we are starting to wrap up here. We do want to invite you to church tomorrow. You can do that by going to scriptures4america.org, clicking on the live video stream. We'll get that fired up at 8:30 a.m. Mountain Time, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern. And we'll have a little bit of everything for you, a timeless pulpit truth. John, looking forward to your live message tomorrow. And we will have communion. Gives us, it's a reminder daily to judge our bodies rightly, to judge ourselves, to do just like you said, Tim, to make sure that we have removed the beam out of our eye as we look into others before we try to tell others about the speck or the sliver that's in their eye. And he gives us the opportunity to do that in this busy, hectic life that we all leave or that we all lead. It is still so critically important to do that very thing, to take time to remember what our Lord and Savior did for us in going to the cross and what that entails. And so we encourage you to join us. If you don't have internet, you can call in on the phone line that we have in the on the website and in the newsletter to listen in. You can listen in on the audio as well. And if you don't have any of that, we do record it. We send out hundreds of DVD churches every Monday. And so we'd be glad to put you on the DVD church list as well and send you the two-hour recording of the church service. And so, you know, we continue on in doing our best to get these truths out, to make them available to you, the remnant. You have a choice. You can join us or not. You can request to get the DVD church or not. You can pray or not. The choice is yours. We hope you choose wisely. Men, thanks so much, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
This country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.